I want to share with you tonight from the book of Luke, chapter 9, a verse that's been on my mind for some reason for several days. And you know, as a preacher, when we get something on our mind, about the only way we can, the only thing we can do with it is preach it, right? And so that's what we're going to do tonight. Would you stand with me as you read from the book of Luke, chapter 9, verse 23. Then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Let's pray. Brother Michael, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to come to your house at the end of the day and to worship you. And Lord, now as we spend a few moments in the Word, Father, may it sink deeply into our hearts. May we understand how much we need you and how little we need ourselves.
Yes, Lord.
To be able to dedicate
yes, Lord.
And we hear your command through the Word. Let's go to those
in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus opened with a question here, and that question, of course, is if anyone desires to come after me. Now, that word come after, we look at that and we think, well, that's just following Jesus, but it's deeper than that. As a matter of fact, I believe it carries the idea that if you're going to come after Jesus, or if you're going to carry on the work that Jesus started, if you're going to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, there are three things that you've got to do. You do realize, of course, Christianity was started with Jesus and 12 ragtag men that nobody else would have chosen but Jesus, right? So if you get to thinking, I'm not worthy, I'm not useful, I don't have anything, you know, anything to offer Jesus, look at the men he called, right? What made them special was they took the charge of Jesus very seriously when Jesus said, "Follow me." Okay? It was more than just a word. It was more than just talk. It was a way of life. And because of Jesus and those men, we went from Jesus and those men to 120 people in Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 2, 3,000 were added to the church. And it has blown up from there to where the gospel has truly spread throughout the world. But I want you to catch, if you're going to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, if you're going to carry on this work, okay, there's three things you got to have. Number one, you've got to deny yourself. That word deny means to disown or renounce claim to. If you are a child of God, the first thing you have to understand is that you no longer have claim onto your life. You realize that? Your life is not your own. You're bought with a price, bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you do not get this part, trust me, you will go no farther. As a matter of fact, most people never get past this first step. Why? Because if you don't come to grips with you don't belong to yourself, you'll spend your life worrying about yourself. Okay? You'll ask questions as you try to serve the Lord. Well, what's in it for me? I don't have to. I don't want to. I won't be treated this way. I won't put up with that. And it'll be filled with me, 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 me. Right? That doesn't work when you're following in the footsteps of Jesus. Have you ever thought about what is it that makes a man a true, wonderful servant of Jesus Christ? Why in the world would a foreign missionary leave the United States of America where, I mean, life is good here compared to the rest of the world? Why would somebody abandon this way of life and go to the other side of the world to preach the gospel? For that matter, why would somebody pastor churches? Why would somebody go out daily and share the gospel of Jesus Christ only to be scorned and laughed at and even looked down upon. It's because somewhere along the way, they made the conscious decision to disown themselves. Have you ever heard people say, I don't have to put up with that? I don't want to do that. I'm not going to do that. If you've ever said that, you've not gotten past this first step to disown yourself. And if you don't get past this step, you will never be solid in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because every time any little thing comes up, you'll quit. Anytime it gets tough. You know, Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:3, therefore, endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Do you ever wonder why references are made to it being a war and being a soldier and putting on the armor of God? Because it gets tough sometimes. And if you don't lose sight of yourself from the very beginning, you'll never advance. You've got to deny yourself. You know, we sing, all to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and honor in Your service daily give. Listen, that has to be your motto. It's not about me anymore. It's about Jesus Christ. And once you accomplish that, you're ready to take the second step, which Jesus says is to take up your cross. Literally, it reads, from the Greek, it reads, take to himself the cross of himself. Okay? Take up. And that was a saying. It was used to describe a ship who weighs anchor and takes off on a journey. Once you figure out you don't belong to you anymore, you're ready to take the journey of walking with Jesus Christ. And I've heard this part preached. That the cross was an instrument of torture. And how that, if you take up your cross, your ministry will be a lifetime of torture. And I thought about that. And you know, the conclusion I come to was, it's no wonder we have a lot of long-faced, sour Christians. Because quite honestly, there are Christians today that believe if it don't hurt, it's not scriptural. We have churches that think if it doesn't hurt, it's not scriptural. And you can tell by their services, because a lot of their services, quite frankly, hurt. But I want you to take notice of something. The reference to the cross, which Jesus, it was a reference to the cross that Jesus was crucified on. And I understand that was torture. But Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 says this, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know what we do? We overlook who for the joy that was set before him. And that's the part I want you to get. Sure, serving Jesus sometimes is tough and it's hard, and you know, there are bruises and bumps and lumps along the way. But I want to tell you, there's joy in serving the Lord. It is a good thing. There's nothing more fulfilling and nothing more joyful than doing what God puts you on this earth to do. You got to ask yourself the question, why am I here? You have a mission. And you will find your joy as you accomplish your mission on this earth. You have a ministry. Own it. Because that's where you'll find the joy. You know, and sometimes I think we don't get that. You've got to find your ministry. The part that brings you joy. For me, it's easy. It's funny. I ran from preaching for a long time until I figured out that's where my joy is. You know? And you know what's really great? The older I become, the more joy there is to preaching.
Amen.
You don't get tired of it. Do you get tired of a lot of things? Yes, you get tired of a lot of things. But I want to tell you, when God calls you to preach, He puts something on the inside of you, and there is just nothing that can replace it. There's the joy. But you know, I don't think I have the market cornered on that. I know I don't. Because even though your place, your mission, your cross, if you will, on this earth, it may not be to pastor. It may not be to get up here like I do and preach every Sunday morning and a lot on Sunday evenings. It may not be the same, but I guarantee you there is a place that God has for you that you will find your joy. I've seen that joy in Brother Ken Worthy as he witnesses, you know, passes out tracts. He can't hide it. He enjoys it. You know? I see it with Brother Kelly as he works with our college students. I see it in Brother Michael as he works with our teens and works as associate pastor. I see that joy. And you know what I want for you? I want you to have that joy. Why has God placed you here? There's a reason. It's not simply just to take up space and to breathe God's air. Find your place. You say, Brother Doug, I don't have that place. You haven't looked for it. You see, some of you are teachers. Some of you are encouragers. Some of you are just Barnabases. Yeah, the sons of encouragement. And I'll be honest with you. I love to see y'all coming. Yeah. Because you always have something positive to say, something encouraging to say, something that lifts you up. Listen, take joy in that gift. Don't back up and say, I can't do anything. You are doing something as you encourage others. Some of you are administrators. Boy, I'm glad some of you are, because I dropped the ball there. Not nearly as good as I would like to be. But then I back up and I realize, you know, that's not my cross. That's not my mission. Number one, you've got to deny or disown yourself. Number two, you've got to be willing to look for and take up that cross. And even though sometimes it may be hard, I promise you this, that's where you'll find joy in your service to the Lord. And then number three, finally, follow me. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. What's he talking about? He's talking about being a disciple. A student of Jesus Christ. A student, a learner of Jesus Christ. That I want to learn from and how Jesus, if He were alive today, would be living. And it begins, of course, with the Word. You've got to spend time in the Word. If you're not going to spend time in the Word, you'll never get there. But I've also discovered this. Are you ready? It's really profound. Maybe it's just profound for me. Every day is an opportunity to learn and to grow. Every day. Okay? There's a lesson in every day that you live about how to apply the principles of Jesus Christ in everyday life. Okay? And you know what? Sometimes you fail. Amen? I still have failure days. More than I care to admit to. But you know what I've discovered? Failure is okay. Failure is okay. What's not okay is not learning something from our failure. Does that make sense? I mean, you look at men like Peter. He denied Jesus. He was so boastful. I'll never deny you, even though everybody else denies you. I'll stand with you till the death. And then, as Jesus was being tried three times, Peter denied Christ. Great, ugly failure. And it broke his heart so that he wept bitterly. But you know what he did? He learned. That same Peter who was denying Jesus Christ at the end of the Gospels was preaching the greatest sermon that was ever preached by mere man in Acts chapter 2, and 3,000 people responded to it. He learned. He learned. You see, that's what I've discovered and what you and I have got to do. It's not that we won't fail. It's that we've got to learn from our failures. You know, there are some things I've learned through the years that when certain situations arise, I back up and say, I've been here before. And you know, when I went through this situation before, I failed miserably. You know what that does for me now? I say, I'm not going to do that again. Yeah. Failure is not such a bad thing when you learn from it. See, it's part of being a student of Jesus Christ. You're going to learn to fail, but you take what you learn, and the next time that test comes around, then you apply it and you say, whoa, I'm not going to make that mistake again. Peter, who denied Christ over a little farther in the book of Acts, he was rejoicing that he had been whipped, counted worthy to be whipped for the cause of Christ. You know? He learned. That's what you and I have to do if we're going to be a student of Jesus Christ. I look back in school and, you know, there were two or three tests I failed. But you know what? I learned from every one of them. And walking with Jesus, when you fail, don't get all bent out of shape. Oh, how sorry I am and I can't do anything right. Back up and look at your failure and thank God for your failure. And learn from it and grow from it. That's what being a disciple is about. Being a disciple means you're going to go where Jesus goes. Remember how He called His disciples? Yeah. Seashores of Galilee, He said, follow Me. And in Matthew chapter 4, verse 20, you know what those guys did? It says, straightway they left their nets and followed Him. If you're going to follow Jesus Christ, there are some things you've got to let go of. You've got to leave. Yeah. My closing question to you is this. What is it that stands before you and Jesus that prevents you from completely following Jesus Christ? When Jesus called His disciples, the fishermen, He found them fishing on the seashores of Galilee. When He said, follow Me, you know what they could have done? They could have said, but wait a minute, I'm making a living here. But they didn't. It says they left their nets and followed Jesus. When Jesus called Matthew, the publican, the tax collector, He was sitting at the table collecting taxes. And Jesus said, Matthew, follow Me. Matthew didn't say, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. This is my livelihood. This is my living. I can't follow. I'll follow you later on. After hours. You know, I work 9 to 5. After 5 o'clock, I'll follow you. Matthew didn't say that. Says he left the table and he followed Jesus. If you're going to follow Jesus, if you're going to take up your cross, there are most likely some things that you're going to have to let go of. Only you can decide what that is. Again, I go back and I know everybody's not called to preach. I get that. And I'm glad everybody's not, because I wouldn't have the joy, you know, of preaching as I do. But I have discovered that very seldom does Jesus say, come follow Me, and there's not something that I've got to leave behind. Yeah? The fishermen had to leave behind their nets. Matthew had to leave behind his tax job. What is it that gets in your way and keeps you from being a disciple today? That's my challenge. I want to read the verse to you again. This is what we should all be striving for. Verse 23. Then he said to them, "If anyone desires to come to me, to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, every day, and follow me." Jesus is more than a hobby. He's a way of life. That's what being a disciple for Jesus Christ is about. Are you, number one, a child of God? Listen, God loved you so much He gave His Son Jesus so that you could have eternal life. Are you saved? The choice is yours. If you are saved, how are you in your discipleship? Okay? Is Jesus a hobby? Or is He a deny myself, take up my cross, and follow Him wherever He goes? You see, that's where we've all got to be shooting for. That's what He's called us to do and to be. Are you that kind of a disciple? If not, maybe time for rededication. Whatever your spiritual need is, I ask you this. Listen to Jesus and do what Jesus leads you to do. Our Father in heaven, as we prepare for an invitation, Lord, I rejoice in this verse in Matthew. The words of Jesus. I thank you for them because it reminds me of what I want to be. And that, Lord, even though I fail, even though I make mistakes, I praise you for your grace and your mercy that you haven't and you don't cast me aside. But rather you let me learn the lessons and you make me stronger on the other side. And Lord, I pray today that victory as a church family will have this desire to follow you, to carry on the work that you've placed us here to carry on. That through the efforts and the ministries of this church, Lord, many lost souls will be saved. I pray, Lord, that you will keep us faithful to you. I ask these blessings in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.